If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Brought to you by YouBeauty.com and Morning and Night Multivitamins. Thanks to all of our great affiliates along the line on Radio MD that are listening, and we thank you for being with us every week. Also, if you're listening on iHeartRadio Talk, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com is the email address for Dr. Mike Royson on this show weekly and time now every day, every week at this time. It's what's toxic and what's not with Dr. Gary Ginsberg. What's toxic.com is his website, which is terrific as well. Dr. Ginsberg gets us four topics every week that we can discuss. Dr. Mike, among this week's four, what do you like the best? What do you want to start with today?
Well, let's start with the sign, the Gary Ginsberg's mailbox, and what should you do when your neighbor has a sign that their lawn has just been fertilized? What different behavior should you have, Gary?
Well, I'm not sure how friendly you are with your neighbor, but assuming that your kids and pets run back and forth across the backyard or the front yard, the little yellow, oftentimes it's yellow, pesticide application sign that is required by law in 20 states to be put on the lawn after treatment basically says that there is exposure possible to an active pesticide ingredient that could be toxic to especially young children and pets. So stay off the lawn. And the sign has to be up for 24 hours. That's the law. And oftentimes people take them down after that because that's what you think. The reality is that the pesticide levels are typically high 2 days out, and really you should wait 3 days before you walk on the lawn for a lot of the types of chemical treatments that we would be worried about on the lawn. So the first rule of thumb is if you do use or your neighbor does use such treatments, stay off of it for 3 days. And that could be pretty hard to do. Because, you know, you want to use your lawn, you forget, if you do pick the flag up, I would leave the flag out. If I would tell my neighbor, leave the flag out for 3 days to remind us not to go on the lawn, because that's how long it's going to take for these residues to go down. The other thing that they found in some studies is that the chemicals, especially on a warm day, can go up into the air and you're breathing it in your breathing zone, whether you're sitting in your chair outside or whether it even gets into the house. And so with the windows open, so certainly when the lawn company, if you use one, and if they are treating your lawn with insecticides and fungicides and molducicides, I would say keep the windows closed. And also, you know, you don't want to have toys and other things, you know, the dog may want to use or the kids may want to use out and around during that time. So with all those precautions and the fact that, you know, it's going to be hard to stay with your lawn for 3 days, you know, a lot of people are thinking much harder about organic lawn care. And I know in Connecticut, where I live, that a number of we have laws now in Connecticut about schools, and certain towns have laws about their public grassy areas being pesticide-free and going organic. And they are making it work. So I think the wave of organic non-pesticidal lawn care treatments. In Canada, it's very common for whole towns to go organic with their open grass areas as well. So the fact that it's still being done in neighborhoods fairly, you know, unconsciously, too. I think people aren't meaning to pollute their lawn, their kids, their dogs, their indoor air with pesticides. There's just not enough awareness about the potential exposures and the potential risks. You know, there have been a number of studies where dogs living in homes that have, you know, chemical treatment lawn care have higher rates of various cancers. So, you know, dogs are seen as the sentinel for human potential risk in that kind of a case. So anyway, my rule of thumb on this is if you don't need to have the perfect lawn, if you can get by with a few weeds, it'll still be green, it'll still be healthy, probably healthier if you go with an organic lawn care company.
You know, advertising for these products is like the advertising you see for fast food. I mean, how many times this spring have we seen the ads, Gary, for the product with the guy with the Scottish brogue? Feed your lawn! Feed it! You know, how many times have you seen that commercial this spring, right? It's on all the time.
And the thing about a lot of those products are, you know, that it'll often be feeding the lawn with a fertilizer and maybe some extra grass seed to fill in some bare spots. But oftentimes they don't tell you there's a hidden ingredient in there, which is, you know, insecticide. So you really have to be aware of what you're buying at the garden store. And try to feed your lawn organically. It's much healthier for the soil. You know, the whole concept of pesticides is integrated pest management. Use the least amount you need. And if you have a healthy lawn, one that has a natural bacterial, you don't want to kill things in your lawn. You want to promote a natural ecology in your lawn. And that will make the grass virulent, healthy, drought resistant, pest resistant. You won't need a lot of pesticide.
All right, let's get down to this topic before we break for the bottom of the hour. And involves disinfectants in chicken processing that may be toxic. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I was a little surprised at this story. You know, I'm always concerned not just about the home environment and kids and moms and you know, the most vulnerable people, but also workers on the line. And sometimes, you know, the real hardcore exposure stories come in the workplace. And this is interesting that USDA inspectors going into chicken plants, they become sensitized to the chemicals that are used to disinfect chicken before it gets packaged up in cellophane and goes off to market. So, look, we're all concerned about salmonella in chicken, and the lower the counts of bacterial counts on chicken, the better. You know, and that comes from the way chickens are raised and bred in industrial type settings where they give each other a lot of bacteria, and some of it can be pretty pathogenic to us. So, okay, I buy into the idea that you've got to disinfect chicken, but the chemicals that they're using are harsh bleach-like chemicals. They're high oxygen, like peroxide type chemicals, very irritating, and workers on the line may have gloves on, but they're breathing in a lot of these sprays that then are causing allergic reactions. So the answer to the bacterial problem is increasing asthma rates, and that's not a good situation for public health. Fortunately, according to FDA, these antimicrobial washes, as they call them, do break down and are rinsed off when you rinse off. You should definitely rinse off your chicken before you start cutting it up and or cooking it. You want to make sure you get this layer of chlorine bleach off the chicken before you sit down to eat it.
You know, Gary, there's a series of studies, though, that washing the chicken spreads salmonella to other areas of your kitchen and is something you shouldn't do, that you should cook it so you get rid of the salmonella before you wash. And what you're saying is, well, that may not be right because they use a Clorox or chlorine thing before,
right,
and you don't want to bake in the chlorine. We need a longer section on this.
Okay, Mike. Yeah, that's fine. But I think if you carefully wash the chicken off in the sink, you're not going to spread salmonella all over the place.
All right. Dr. Gary Ginsberg, every week, join us weekly for him and go to his website, whatstoxic.com. Whatstoxic.com. Coming up after the break, more of the top medical news stories of the week. Hey, if you're a lady, you have one of these apple shapes. How does that connect to maybe breast cancer? That and more coming up on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening and stay well.